What's happening, everybody? It's quite a big change after last week's Gil Scott Heron Open. Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein. I'm liking this change.
Shut it up, white man. The revolution would not be televised.
And I'm Tim Miller. By the way, I'm here too. Yeah.
Tim Miller lives. It's three guys on.
Hey, the revolution may be improvised.
Be improvised because we have one of the kings of improvisers in this area. That's nice. Why we have the song Peg opening up. Not like we all don't like Peg. We're all doing. We're all playing air instruments.
My video just paused for a second.
We need you guys welcome to the stage. The very funny, the happy Buddha, Jeff Hughes, everybody. Jeff Hughes.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I did say it right.
Is that an official title?
It's not
Hugh Gay or something like that.
No, it's Hughes. Yeah, happy Buddha, man.
Happy Buddha. Okay.
Happy Buddha, brother.
The dancing Buddha.
That's right.
Dancing Buddha as well.
Yeah, I always start off my shows with a dance.
Does start off his shows. Jeff actually has an improv empire. We had Sean Westfall on before once. We talked about the improv scene in the area, and I've done a couple of shows with Jeff, and I'm doing one with Jeff this Friday night. Pitch that real quick.
It's this Friday night at 10 o'clock at the DC Art Center in Adams Morgan. It's we're calling it Diversity Buddha because a lot of people think of improv, with good reason, as a white thing.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. Classified under stuff white people like.
Yeah.
And we're trying to show that there are other people that do improv. So we will have some white people there, but we will have a troupe called Asian Moms.
But those white people going to be serving drinks.
They're going to be serving drinks. That's right. And basically, you know, give me manicures and pedicures as I'm on stage.
Nice. I need to get into this improv thing. Hey. I need to get up on this improv thing.
This is a special show for this now. But no, we got a troupe called Asian Moms. We got a troupe called Sabado Picante, which is going to be doing an improvised telenovela. And then a couple of us, like African-American, mostly improvisers. We have a special guest, Lawrence Gilliard Jr. from The Wire. He was D'Angelo Barksdale. So I'm sure some Omar references are going to come up. So we're going to bring him out on stage and just do our thing. And Randolph's going to be hosting.
I'm going to host that.
Sounds like fun.
I'm going to host that.
Sounds like a good time.
A little bit of time.
I haven't been to the Art Center in a while. How's it looking now?
It looks good. I mean, basically, you know, they've... that black box is a really good space for improv. It's what seats about 50 or so. So, you know, it's not a huge space. But, yeah, it's a good place for improv. Most of the time when we have stand-ups there, I mean, we can set up mics for them, but I think most of them find they don't necessarily need it.
Really?
I didn't care to. You know who does? Who's the cat that wears a red suit?
Christian Hunt.
His show there. He brings a sound system in, but I don't think we, as a stand-up, I didn't need a mic.
Right. It's a good space.
It's like the improvers aren't using a mic. I'm not going to use a mic. How dare they try to show me up?
Switching gears for a second. I was looking at the YouTube comments on the Steely Dan video.
Yeah.
I had never heard anyone say this, but Lady Swag comments... Mike McDonald was fine as hell, and he's still a dime piece. Really? Is that the people? Was he a sex symbol?
Well, Michael McDonald is Michael McDonald in Steely Dan?
He did some backup singing.
He did
for
sing
them.
Backup yeah. for them, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he on might, Peg. Now I think about it, right?
That song. I think he's in that.
You can hear him. Well,
maybe that's why. Michael McDonald.
I didn't know that. I had no idea that women thought Mike McDonald was
back in the day.
Sexy.
Older black women do.
My mother.
It's the voice and his eyes.
Right.
Older black women liked him.
And he had the beard.
And he had, yeah.
Before it was hip.
Older black women like, there are certain white men that older black women like.
Right.
Tom Jones was a big one.
Yep.
Bill Clinton kind of fell in favor, then out of favor, then back in favor, then back out of favor. I think he's back in now.
Saxophone on Arsenio Hall did it.
Michael McDonald. Daryl Hall.
Daryl Hall.
Peter Cetera got hot for a minute.
Real 80s or 70s, Peter Cetera?
Yeah, like 70s.
It's 70s.
Like 70s.
Chicago had a horn section.
Because most of these people, like my mom was into. Trying to think who else she thought was like kind of sexy. The Beatles did nothing for her.
No.
She's
Beatles did nothing for black women.
Mm-hmm.
The Beatles did nothing for black women. Yeah. The Righteous Brothers.
Oh yeah.
When black women found out what they actually looked like, we're like, wait a second, I still think they're sexy, girl. Exactly. It was that kind of. It was.
Yeah, it wasn't like a Rick Astley thing where people found out what he looked like.
They're like, oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, howdy doody. Get howdy doody. So we brought Jeff on. So Jeff, give us a little bit of your background because I know.
I can stop it if need be.
Yeah, that's not. But
they're discussing. You guys can hear them discussing. They have a technical issue happening right now. We're very.
That's not.
We're very behind the green. Behind the. You know what they say? Ignore the man behind the curtain. We don't. We point at the guy behind the curtain. Yeah,
we
point
at him. We don't. We don't talk off mic about.
See him over there. Look at that guy. Look what he's doing. That's how.
Well, we got a new. We're trying to do.
Yeah, we should have troubleshot that. I just plugged you into the control room out.
Oh my God.
Is it working?
I don't know. We can find out.
We'll find out after. I just want
to. We can find out right now. If you want. Yeah. But what happened? I just went.
Yeah, something happened. It's that. It's that.
No, it's not
which
that.
I think we need to know because it's cutting in and out of my ears too.
What do you? I hear nothing.
Oh really?
See, you guys don't hear anything.
Yeah, we don't hear it because we're off.
But it's this one.
It's because this was plugged in.
Well, you're in now.
Yeah. See, we can't. It's when this plugs in, we get interference.
Yeah. Okay.
So I wonder. Well, if they're not,
how about now?
I don't think the crowd would hear it.
Nah.
No.
Nah, I hear much better now.
Well, who knows?
I was hearing before.
Who knows? Maybe we'll. Who knows? I'll just send you the MP3.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, I'll tell you about it for the next show.
Okay.
I'll tell you why.
All right.
So you've been doing improv for how many years now?
I've been doing it for about.
Come into the mic.
Okay.
That's why I got those for you.
Come into the mic.
Hello.
We're nasty.
Yeah. I've been doing improv
freaking night.
Yeah. I've been coming into the mic for about 6 months. No, I've been doing improv for about, it'll be 5 years in November.
What brought you to improv at the later stage?
It was a girl.
Oh, God.
We talked about that.
Yeah. It was a girl. No, it was, I had always, we all have our, little created things, and my main thing is always been writing, writing fiction, short stories, and I'm actually working on a novel now, but...
You gotta throw that in?
But a couple of years ago, I had seen... So y'all had Sean on. Sean hosts a show sometimes at the DC Improv where they do a lot of what's called short form. Short form, for those people not familiar, improv terms. If you've seen Whose Line Is It Anyway,
mm-hmm.
That's short form improv.
Right. Yeah.
And that's most of the time, that's what, when people think of improv, that's what they think of.
Yeah.
But, so I saw that and I was like, someday I'd like to do that. So probably about right before my 40th birthday, there was this woman that I was interested in and I kind of realized right away that I realized at a certain point that it just wasn't going to happen. I was all bummed out about it. And so I was like, you know how some people do, like women cut their hair and something. So I was like, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to shake it up a little bit.
Let's see, buy a sports car or...
Learn improv.
Exactly. And I didn't have sports car money. So I said, well, I'm going to learn some improv. And I just started liking it. And I like the people that I've met. I like doing it. I like getting laughs and stuff like that. And as I progress, what happens in improv is you start
to get laid. We get it. You're being too deep, brother.
Let me dissuade you of that right
you
now.
You starting to get some ass, and he was like, "Let me stick to this. Yeah.
No, any ass I got was purely coincidental.
You get that one art gallery girl. You get that girl. Yeah, look at see.
Really turns me on.
Well, we get into people. Well, that's a whole different.
The Herald really turns me on.
Basically, yes.
I think the saying is yes and means yes.
Yes. Yeah. But no, to be honest with you, if you want to get laid in comedy. Improv is not necessarily the type of comedy you want to go into, but
yeah, what type is?
Yeah, what? Okay, so what?
We need to.
I thought stand-up was. I thought that was where you got the booty.
You have a good set, maybe.
You can. Let me say it like
you
that.
Can.
You can.
Right. Definitely can.
It's not going to say. It's not but. Like not like being a singer. Nothing tops that.
No.
Now maybe if I was
an actor.
Well, maybe
a successful actor.
Successful actors, yeah. And if I was like one of those like 25-year-old, like, you know, hipster white dudes, then maybe I would have got more booty. But
right.
Nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah, but you gotta bang out those girls though.
Yeah.
No one wants that.
Yeah, no one wants that.
Not even them. No. 25 hipster white boys. Yeah, gotta bang out the cast of girls. What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
No, then you get dragged out to see the vagina monologue.
That's too much.
I think you'd really like this show.
Exactly. Tim went through a little
might
bit
not
of that.
Like it. Yes,
Tim
I did
went through
indeed.
A little bit of that.
Yes, I did indeed.
Yeah.
She was a comic though, but she was an improver.
She was an
improvist as well.
Yeah.
But
Want to go see Fleet Foxes? Mumford and Sons is playing.
Let's go see a burlesque show.
Let's just stay in.
See some fat girls tripping.
Stay in and talk about Wes Anderson. Let's do that. Let's just stay in tonight.
Yeah.
Talk about Wes Anderson.
A lot of like annoying, but that's just me being antisocial, mostly.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of annoying people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all, you know, people that very need clickish. To do stand up. Yeah. Yeah, the clickers, but the people that need to do stand up, the way they talk is
always
very like,
on.
Yeah. That, but everybody was like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Why are you trying to? That's when I knew it was a problem, when they were trying to make me laugh and I get mad at them. Like, can you not try to make me laugh? Can you just talk to me like a, like, you know?
Right.
No, because that's that. Shield comics do it too. You put that shield up.
Yeah,
I can't interact with people like normal human beings.
Yeah,
so I put this shield up around me.
And you gotta remember, improv is especially bad for tonight. I'm doing a really good job of like promoting improv. Improv is kind of like
bad.
Well, Sean always says it's like the Dungeons and Dragons of like performing on space.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's funny. A real nerd centric form. I mean, I'm kind of nerdy, so I don't necessarily mind that, but. What I do like about it is I like the sense of community, and I like what, you know, what you guys do as stand-ups. I love it. I couldn't do it because like just going out there by myself like that, that'd be scary.
Yeah, I'm saying I don't want to be in a group.
Well, see,
I don't want
to
rely
exactly
on
what I was about
I
to
don't
say.
Want anybody relying on me.
That's exactly what I was about
thing.
To say.
I don't want anybody relying on me.
Yeah,
is the podcast canceled? Are we done?
See, we couldn't. I couldn't do. I was talking to somebody. I think it was Ahmed. About he told me a line and I was like, I'm not going. He's like, yeah, Tim, you could never do improv. And I'm like, you're right. I can't rely on somebody else for my funny.
He said it to you like it was a revelation. Like,
yeah.
Like you were going to be like, yes, I can.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah.
Like, no, dog, I can't do it. You're right. You have to rely. You have to whatever the line. See, I don't know how, like, I don't know the terminology, but I know it's there's a setup and then there's a punch. Like it's not conversational like stand up is, where the funny will come out. I can't do it.
I just don't want people relying on me. That's a bigger bigger thing to me. It's like, what if I can't get
let the team down?
I can't get the funny thing right now.
Sorry,
the whole
guys.
Shit looks bad.
I was off tonight.
Unless I'm doing like we talked about Louis did that time, just purposely sabotage thing. I'm gonna say no to everything.
No.
The audience is gonna love me. They're gonna hate everybody on.
Well, you also have to be in a mentality where. If the laugh isn't yours, you got to be okay with it.
Yeah, fuck
where
that.
I think a lot of stand-ups are like, I
want
to get the
I
laugh.
Want the
right.
laugh.
I want to be
right.
the one.
Look here now.
I don't mind being a straight man to set up another. That's kind of like a weird, like I could maybe do like a duo, like an Abbott and Costello type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like a written down
that's
act.
A stand-up.
That's that's not improv.
And they had their issues too, because apparently they didn't speak to each other off stage for years.
Oh, I fully believe that.
Yeah, and like Abbott got annoyed with being the straight man. So like even that is not true. About. All right, so all y'all, you guys are all in the sports, right?
Yeah.
So when improv works well, it's kind of like, you know how everybody was like praising the Spurs last year and how they played that kind of basketball?
Yeah.
Like, or like this
boring
year.
Basketball?
Yeah. See, old Spurs, no. But like now, you know, like passing and everything like that, like you don't necessarily know who's going to get the basket, but everybody kind of gets a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
When it works well, it's kind
of
like that.
And we're,
like
we're a bunch of Carmelo Anthonys.
I'm taking a shot.
No, at least be Jordan, man. Just at least be Jordan.
Right.
You don't want to be Carmelo.
That's why the only arts I've done is the combat arts. It's just me. Nobody else. It's me versus my opponent, and that's it. I'm not relying on anybody else. That's how stand-up is. It's me and this audience, and that's it.
Yeah, but they're not your opponent.
It's me against
them.
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah, they can be.
Fuck these motherfuckers.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how we talk about them, too.
Right.
Like, the comics come back out like, man, they fucking suck tonight.
I've told crowds that. I've gone on stage and said, did you guys know all the comics hate you?
Yeah. Because
crowds
are talking shit about you.
Yeah. Right. Every single comic
walks
up stage.
What do we do? They get self-conscious.
And they don't, I expect crowds to like laugh at that, but they just look at you like, what?
Now we hate you.
Yeah, it's fucked up,
who are you? Who do you think you are, man? There is a very battle-centric thing to stand up.
Right.
Other comics have talked about it. I killed, you know.
Of course.
We killed them, or they slayed me. Right. It's very fight-oriented.
It's very
as
dark,
Seinfeld right. likes to say, you know, is you're the most important person in the room. You're the one with the mic. Yeah. Well, it's just all of us. No, it ain't. That's an illusion.
Whereas improv, there's like, you know, like yes and, you know, agreement and absolute agreement and stuff like that. So it's definitely. Yeah. The funny thing is much, like, I love improv for that and like that group, but because I also produce shows, obviously.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of my shows. I don't want anybody involved with me when I produce. I'm totally like you guys in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me
do it. Let me fail on my own.
Right.
You know, I want to do it. And I got into producing because after about a year or two of doing improv, probably about a year, you start to want stage time. And I guess I just got in that DIY mode of, you know, well, if I'm going to get stage time, I want to do this myself. So I was in a troupe at the time, and I was like, well, why don't we put on a show at, you know, they're closing the Comedy Spot, but the Comedy Spot.
In Boston.
Yeah, because I knew some people over there, and I was going to put on a show, and they were like, well, nobody's going to come to see us. And I'm like, well, I'll get somebody, you know, we'll figure that out. So I got another troupe to join in with us, and they were like, you know, but everybody's like, I don't know if anybody's going to come see us. So what happened was, so you guys had Sean on.
Yeah.
Sean and Michael are probably like the biggest improv act in town. Like they're really funny. And at the time, we had all just started out. So they were like deities to us and shit.
Yeah.
So I went up to him and I was like, would you guys headline my show? And Sean's like,
He's just a guy.
Yeah, exactly. And at the time, I was like, he's just like, hey, we're whores for the stage time. Just like everybody else.
And you hung up. You did like a fist bump when you hung up with
him. Good guy, Sean.
Yeah, good Sean.
Started dancing immediately.
Exactly. And everybody else was like, damn, you got Sean? Yeah.
How'd you get him?
How'd you get my ass?
What'd you do? Like, you must have took a lot of bribing and payments, right? Payments.
So this was the first show I'd ever produced. So like we got Sean. I got like everybody. Like we had way too many freaking people for the show. But the end result was we sold so many tickets. We did a 2-night show.
There you go.
And we, if you guys have been in the Comedy Spot, which I'm sure probably you guys are.
Yeah,
started.
There's like that hot box, which was the black box.
Yeah.
And then there's the main room. We sold out the main room.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to put us in the main room for both nights, but some kid was having a bar mitzvah, so they couldn't give us the main room. So like it was crazy.
Sounds like New York.
Yeah.
Where'd you have your bar mitzvah? The Comedy Spot.
Comedy Spot.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ.
So I just got a taste of that, and I was like, yeah, I want to keep doing this. So I've been doing it with different guys.
We put shows together, and we're the three of us work well together. Obviously, we've been together for so long that you break down into certain roles and everybody just kind of stays in their particular role, so you don't really have a problem. You know, it's when the person tries to the wild card thing that doesn't go. We also don't like to deal with people who aren't adults. So
right.
We've had a little bit of that on a couple of shows we've done, and we just don't deal with them after that.
a couple shows, and we'll
handle it, and then we just don't deal with them anymore. You probably had the same issue. You deal with somebody who's not an adult about their stuff, fine, I just won't deal with you no more.
Exactly.
It's funny, you know, Little Brother, you know, Fonte from Little Brother, we interviewed him once. He's now in a group called the Foreign Exchange. We were lucky enough to interview him. If you really want to hear a great interview, go to Chris Lambert's podcast, The Mundane Festival.
The Mundane Festival
podcast. Or Chris Lambert, friend of the podcast.
Okay.
mentor of myself and or protege of myself and Andy. Are we claiming as a protege?
He does. I don't.
He does all the time. He loves telling people they're my mentors. I'm like, we're just dudes, man.
Yeah. We just did comedy before you.
But anything good that happens for, we'll take credit.
Yeah, we take credit for it. Yeah. And he's had a lot of good stuff, and we take credit for.
Yeah, anything bad, it's on him.
He interviewed Fonte, and Fonte said the same. Tante told us the same thing. He's like, I don't like classroom. Are you gonna? They have that foreign exchange imprint right now. I said, are you signing artists? He's like, nope. Nope. Because I don't want to deal with him. Yeah, I don't want to deal with him. He does some stuff with his keyboardist and another guy, Eric Roberson, that sings. Other than that, nope.
That's it.
He's just like, I don't want to deal with children. I was like, yeah, we understand that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I understand that.
There is something once you've developed like a trust level with certain people. Like you got, you know, like the three of you guys or even some of the people, like I said, I produce pretty much by myself. But like whenever we perform, there's certain people that, you know, I love to perform with because I know, like, I know what's coming. They act like adults. You know, they're not going to, like, because, you know, improv, you don't know what the hell is going to happen sometimes. They don't try to, like, make, you know, be, and especially being a black improviser, you know, they don't come out like, you know, Tyrone, such and such. You know,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, that's all I can think of.
Because I'm sure that they throw that at you a lot. And we'll put something black on him, you know.
They have to know you.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Before, I would think beforehand they would talk to you, and then they would get like, "Oh, he's not one of those like goofy blacks that I can, you know, throw out." Yeah. Hey, boy, the slavery. Some of them would be.
Some of them go with it.
Some of them
you'll be like,
some of them will go with it.
You know, after this performance, it's me and you backstage. You understand that, right?
Exactly.
Do you understand what's going to happen when we get back? Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of a hacky.
It's going to stop the hacky premise. Scene.
I mean, it could.
Yeah, it's also just going for a laugh. Where you don't, go for a stereotype joke,
right?
Which,
right.
You know,
right.
It's the easy laugh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The low hanging fruit.
Yeah,
but the thing is, even if you talk to some improvisers beforehand, or they know you, that's the thing about improv. It's all the heat of the moment. So sometimes you're stuck, and you just pick the first thing that comes to your head, and sometimes the first thing that comes to your head is fucked up.
Yeah.
So you're saying like low hanging fruit. Low hanging fruit is good sometimes. I'm not gonna say it's not.
It can be.
Shit jokes are funny. Fart jokes are funny.
Yeah.
You know, dick jokes are funny. Dumb jokes are funny.
Oh, yeah.
The question is, are we all going along with these dumb jokes?
That's the other thing, too. You know? The audience, are they comfortable? Would they be comfortable
with
that?
Do I know you well enough to say this and to bring you in this? Do I know you're going to go with me?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing. Another reason for me not to be doing it. I don't have time to be running through all the variables in my head. I just want to
that
do
fast.
Jokes.
Or the other thing is like, this is the eighth show I've done with this guy, and he keeps calling me Tyrone. Like,
yeah.
Doesn't he have any other low hanging fruit? Is that the only fruit?
This the one.
Low hanging fruit.
This the one. This that one apple you like. Okay.
At least say Lil Tyrone. He's mix it up.
Yeah. One of the funniest things I've ever seen in improv was this guy also does stand up. Nate.
Nate Johnson
was doing improv with this guy, Jamal Newman, that I know, and he called him Thelonious on stage.
Thelonious.
Thelonious.
That's funny.
It was funny.
That's hilarious.
That was really funny.
Thelonious.
Yeah.
Man.
That was funny.
Big ups to Nate. That is hilarious.
Exactly. That was
good. Look at Thelonious.
Everybody died when they did
that. You called him Cornelius. That'd be just as funny. Oh, my God.
Thelonious is good. Because there is a Thelonious,
though. Right.
Thelonious, so they'd be, I feel like they'd be, I'm always worried about the audience's, which is a stupid thing to think about, the audience reaction to certain things. And I don't want to have to explain everything I say, because it's never funny afterwards.
Thelonious.
Yeah.
Well, Thelonious is a stereotypical. I mean, it's not a stereotypical. You don't see it as a stereotype, but it obviously is a black name.
Right.
Clifton.
Yeah. Clifton. Yeah.
Something like that.
Right.
Thelonious.
And that's what made it funny. Like you would never meet a white dude named Thelonious.
Right.
But
or Franklin.
A Franklin.
Last time you met
Franklin.
A white.
Franklin.
When did that happen?
That was
Franklin.
Franklin.
I think I've met a white Franklin.
One.
Well, Chauncey,
I guess Frank
Chauncey. That's
I met a white
one.
Chauncey.
I knew a white Chauncey.
I've known the only Chauncey's I've known have been black.
Black, yeah.
Besides from literature,
right?
All it is that's a British name.
Yeah,
like Jamaican. A lot of Jamaicans have black Jamaicans have these weird basil.
Right.
Is a big one.
Yeah.
I'm basil, man.
Yeah. Courtney.
Basil. So we got basil. We know romaine.
Romaine.
They just name it out of like herbs and vegetables.
Because they're British handed down names.
He's my brother Plantain.
You know? You know, we call him Junior for short.
That's just
Junior. Junior Gong.
Romaine, Plantain, Cocaine. Is our cousin Cocaine?
I'm in love with the coca. That is such a stupid song.
But yeah, so I'm with you. Like, scatological humor in and of itself.
It's funny.
It's funny. Yeah. But like you said, is the audience going to go along, and is it going to be, you know, you're working with other people, so is it going to be something they're okay with? I know a lot of female improvisers, and they really have it rough in town because, you know, a lot, improv is pretty white, and you have a lot of, like, 20-something-year-old white dudes,
you know,
on stage with these females.
It's a lot of weird testosterone. They're nerds, too.
And they're nerds.
And they're nerds.
Yeah.
So socially, they're not, they haven't been around.
Talk to a girl.
The other thing, too, is a lot of the improv girls I've noticed tend to be better looking the variety of female. I'm doing that on purpose. I don't think a lot of those guys have been around women that look like that.
Amy Michelle's getting ready to leave. You
want to talk?
Quit running.
Extended amount of time.
Quit running.
You want to talk?
No.
Speaking of pretty women,
notice how effective Randolph's quit running was.
Yeah,
exactly. She kept running.
Yeah. But no, there's some really pretty females, especially if you like that kind of arty look. And these dudes don't know what to do. They don't have any social experience. So yeah, there's a lot of, like, what's a lot Jamel's of ball name? Gags and
yeah. You know, what's Jamel's lady's name?
Jamel Johnson.
What's this lady's name? You know,
Jamal. They don't date anymore.
Oh shit!
Yeah, somebody F that one up. But Brianna's pretty. Brianna's really pretty.
Really?
I don't know.
They were together for a minute.
They were together for a minute. But
wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens.
She was trying to get him to come out to do our stand-up show, and I told him, "Okay, come on out,"
because he hasn't done stand-up.
I think he wants to. Okay. Well, he did do stand-up. He hosted a show before. You had him host a show before I did. I watched. He did the – he's just a young stand-up. He did the rookie thing of walk out and walk right into your jokes.
Right.
It's just a rookie thing. He just needs some – he needs more reps. He just needs more reps. He's funny.
So food is weird.
Yeah. He just needs more reps.
Immediately just –
Right.
But he's funny.
Yeah, he's got potential.
So she was on him about come out to the draft house, and I guess now they're not together
anymore.
Maybe that's what broke them up.
Maybe that's the thing that broke them up. She's like, if you don't try stand up, I'm leaving.
She was on him about it, you know. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she's pretty. There's some very attractive women, but they, you know, and these dudes, I guess they don't know what to do,
right?
With all the, but yeah, there's, so the. Yeah, you know, some of the female improvisers, they have it hard. They actually have there's this thing called Bagels and Jam, or like a lot of the females will get together themselves and like do improvisation, you know, just like jam and hang out. Right. And I think just to get away from like all these dudes like putting ball gags and
same
mouths,
jokes. Yeah.
Or pimping them out.
I've said that with stand up. Whenever there's a new female stand up on the scene, she has to walk through a soul train line.
Begins.
Right. After she gets off stage, it's just dudes lining up like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, let's write. Let's hang out. What are you doing? Hey, you're
hey,
funny.
Hey, listen. Yeah, funny. You're for a girl.
So funny.
for a girl
with tits.
Funny.
And a vagina.
As soon as she comes off stage, two lines begin. Soul train line. Right down the center.
She comes dancing.
Hey, what's happening?
And it's always the same type of girl.
Yeah,
it's always the same. Yeah,
yeah. Kind of a cutesy, mousy, little white girl. Generally,
little white girl.
Yeah, you know they don't do that to the black ones.
No,
they don't do that to the black girls.
They're afraid the black ones go, if you don't get the fuck out of my face,
look here, I ain't writing. I'm going to go in your house and write. Who you think this is? Writing shit.
Hey, man.
Tremor's daughter.
Stop, please.
Now.
Trying to raise a daughter.
You go through that window?
She beating on the window like it's no one inside.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know. Go.
Is there quality among the
poem?
And you know, in terms of looks, among the female stand-ups in town,
some of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I think more than it used to be.
Okay.
I think in general,
I think
all comics, men too, are better looking, like the new ones.
Yeah.
Like it used to be the outcasts would go into it, and now it seems like it's gone more, I guess you say mainstream. But they're good looking dudes, they're good looking women. It's like people are like, what are you doing here? Like, you don't need this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. I still stick to it that funny people are not funny, or pretty people are not funny. They're not. They don't have to be. So
I think it's changing.
I think it is changing. Yeah.
Because
I think some of them are. But the funniest people are not.
Yeah. If pretty people, they just need. Like, the reason a lot of people go into stand up is because someone like them is doing it. Oh, I can do that. That guy's like me. If a pretty person sees a pretty person getting ahead, they can be like, oh, I can do that. That's a door open
for
me.
The best looking comics I've known is like a female. I don't know. Rachel Feinstein is very attractive. Aisha Tyler's pretty.
People love Sarah Silverman.
Mm-hmm. I don't think she's attractive.
Well, but people do. But that's broad. Not, I mean, a lot of people do.
People do find her attractive, that quirky girl thing.
A lot of people find.
Gary Goldman's a good looking dude.
Well, there you go.
She's like very good looking.
6'5", 6'6".
Well, Jeff Dye.
Athlete's build.
Dude's like a model. Whitney Cummings was a model.
Yeah, Whitney Cummings was a model.
Yeah.
Amy Schumer, a lot of people love her.
But it does make it harder, I think, for the audience to sort of empathize with you.
Yeah. But I think that's changing too, because a lot of, like, especially female comics, they feel like something has changed where they can kind of go on stage and talk about being pretty, which is not something that ever used to happen. Like they'll go on stage and be like, I'm cute, I'm good looking, and here are the issues that I have with that.
Yeah,
right.
And that's not a thing that people in the past crowds wouldn't empathize. Now I think crowds are more, I guess, willing to listen to that. Yeah. And you know, it used to be where a woman shouldn't dress provocatively on stage as a stand-up because it would distract the audience. But now, I mean, you see people like Amy Schumer, like Nikki Glaser, whatever. They do their specials, and they're dressed up. They have a fairly short dress on. I think maybe they're trying to own that again. Like, why can't we? Mm-hmm. Why can't we be feminine? And if you have a problem laughing because you can't stop looking at me, it's your fucking problem. So I think it's changing now where you can – crowds don't even care about that. They'll empathize – if you just have a funny joke. I think funny trumps all that anyway.
Yeah.
But also, cute girl talking dirty.
That's a new thing.
Talking a lot about sex. Right. That will if she's like, yeah, I get hit on a lot, but she has a lot of like sex jokes. I think whoever, like, especially the men in the crowd, are definitely going to listen now. Mm-hmm. I want to hear you talk about blowing guys. You know? That's pretty cool. So it's not about empathy anymore. It's just about like that package.
It's a voyeuristic thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it stops being empathy towards stand up. Becomes,
you know, it's funny you talk about dressing provocatively. Like, one time I saw this improv show, and this woman came on who's already pretty attractive. She was a short skirt that she had on. And I don't know if she was funny.
Right.
I don't know what she did, but like, I think me and half the crowd, pretty much all the dudes in the crowd were going, it was like,
just staring at
exactly.
her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, and. Yes, and. Yes, and.
Keep going. Don't give it a light.
Exactly. Keep going. Yeah. Y'all stay.
Go long. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't tap her out.
Yeah. Let her stay out there. Exactly. Let her stay out there. She's the best.
She's the best.
She's the thing.
She's good. And in the Soul Train line forms.
Hey.
What's
we should
going
get
on?
Together.
What are you doing?
Work on our long form.
Exactly.
You wanna just get together and jam? Have a practice session?
Did you just move here? Do you need a ride home? I'll give you a ride. Wherever you want to go, I'll give you a ride.
Hey. Yeah, we know a couple of comics. That's the go-to move.
What? Let's write?
I'll give you a ride. Maybe we can get together and ride.
Oh, yeah.
Let me drive around to all the other shows around the scene. Yeah. You just moved
I'll take
here.
It all
that was my move. It works. You get a chance alone with them.
I take it all the shows.
And, yeah.
So in improv, you'll get the play if you're the teacher.
Right.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, the teachers will get a lot of play.
Says the teacher.
says the guy who put shows together.
No. I'm a quiet man. and let me see. Like, if you're really good, then a lot of times you'll get points off that. You know, if you got that kind of, especially if you got that hipster look, that'll happen. Yeah. But I always thought that, you know, the stand up was going to get more put.
I mean, you do when you get better. When you, like you said, when you get good, that's when you you get a little, a little of
You get good, that's it.
You get confidence.
Like, if you get good at anything,
you
immediately start getting
whatever
the people are in that particular world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you're the best accountant, then you're going to get accountant pussy.
Whoever the PA is, right. Yeah. She's going to be like, have you seen Don Draper? Or whatever his name
his
could be.
Spreadsheets. Yeah. You don't even know, girl.
You're debited and credited like a mofo.
Yeah, you get good at something.
Hey, let's get together and balance some ledgers.
I saw that movie, which kind of ties back to that. Kingsman. Anybody seen it?
Not seen it. No.
Is anybody going to see it?
No, I'm planning
probably
to.
Not okay, then I'm not going to talk about it.
I'll probably see it later.
I'm not
going to
talk
free.
About it. Don't Spoilers. Read anything about it because it'll be spoiled for you. Okay. I was going to spoil it literally right now. So don't.
What's the spoil? I mean, I'm sure a lot of action. Is there like an understory to or a
little bit
background
that I don't get
spoilers.
Women
sometimes.
Are complaining about. There's a storyline complaining about.
Okay. Is there a it's probably
women
a,
are complaining about
whatchamacallit element so. To it? What's the because a lot of feminists don't like what's the show with Don Draper? Mad Men. Yeah.
No, not really that. Same type because of thing. There are strong female characters in it. It's just a little bit of this weird undercurrent. It's something weird.
Okay. Trying to raise a daughter.
Trying to raise this girl.
Not even like it's just an undercurrent thing happening, you know, that this one blogger wrote about and then everybody picked up on it.
Oh,
basically.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every blogs are like high school papers now. And it's like, what's wrong with this issue? I don't know. Let's just make up stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's just make up stuff.
Mines for gold here.
People got to have stuff to write about.
That's because media is everywhere and it's just oversaturated. It's everybody has an opinion that's the new media now.
Right. And it's like, I like 99% of this, but there was one part.
There was one thing that made me.
Here's 800 words on one scene of a 2-hour movie.
A 2-hour movie that made my soul die
a
little bit.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
Everything's exaggerated. Like the negative is exaggerated. Like one tiny piece is terrible. And then the positive, if something is great, it's like, it blows your mind. Yeah, it changes your life.
Thing, and that's what everybody was talking about. And I just thought it was just an okay action movie. The fight scenes are fantastic.
They look pretty cool.
Fantastic. You know, but it's other than that, it's all right. It's an okay movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's an okay movie. And speaking of movies, you know the Oscars are tonight.
Well, do you want to do with some emails first? Or?
Yes.
We got four emails. And we'll get to the Oscars. Gregorio, who emailed us based on episode 443, which was last Monday. Top of the morning, gentlemen. Where do I even fucking start? First of all, first time emailer. Really? He's never emailed us before?
Was this Gregorio?
Gregorio.
He hasn't? He's never emailed us.
Huh.
That's weird, because there's been a lot of Twitter conversations.
There's a lot of Twitter, a lot of Facebook.
First time emailer, long time listener. Second, Tim Miller lives.
Tim Miller lives.
Hashtag, insert Haywood laugh here.
Hashtag.
Are we going to...
Yes.
We're going to explain Tim Miller lives. And are we gonna,
they know what it is.
Are we ever going to stop?
For
Jeff.
It ain't stopped.
Tim's been missing some episodes lately.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
So he's become our boomer.
I'm trying to raise a daughter, man.
Tim Miller lives.
I'm trying to raise a daughter, man.
Hey, man.
Trying
to raise his little girl, man.
There you go.
Tim is in the like water for chocolate phase of raising a daughter. Pretty soon he'll be you'll get to B level where you can get more free time.
Free, yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
And in Finding Forever, he didn't even talk about her anymore. His daughter, who knows what's going on with her?
Yeah.
Okay, so Gregora. Thirdly, I gotta agree with y'all on the rhubarb. It is tart and sour, and some components are even poisonous.
Yeah,
really?
I had it. Yeah, I had rhubarb. Did I say that last time?
Yeah, rhubarb.
Yeah, you had a rhubarb pie.
Yeah, in Canada. Oh,
it is part of the nightshade family. The nightshade family sounds like a funk band.
What? Nightshade is a poison.
It is part of the nightshade family.
That's a new improv troupe name, right?
Yeah,
there.
That's a pretty nightshade family.
We're the nightshade family.
Yeah,
it's a very deadly
some
poison.
Some of us is poisonous.
I'm telling you right now.
That, some of us is tart.
That is going to be the title.
Little bit of the sweet.
That's a very good.
That's the title of this episode of the podcast. Nightshade family. It's part of the nightshade family. Isn't all nighttime shade? Anyway, after all, like tomatoes, I guess the tomatoes are part of the nightshade family. I'll take the pie. Talking rhubarb pie. I'll take the pie if it also has cherries or strawberries in it. I've even had cocktails using rhubarb simple syrup. It's all about balancing the tartness. Pies, by the way, are my biggest kitchen fear. It's next up on my challenge to tackle. You know, it's weird. A lot of chefs, they don't do dessert. You know, like that's
or they only do dessert.
A lot of chefs don't. Yeah, like they only do dessert.
Pastry chefs.
And good God, I have tasted some terrible homemade ice creams. people using low quality and or low fat ingredients, you got to use the best to get the best. Also, you got to have the patience to chill your shit before putting it into the machine, lest you get the ice chunks you guys mentioned. With that said, I've made some banging avocado ice cream.
Here it comes.
Keep up the good work.
Here it comes.
Thank you and your guests for putting in the hours and giving us
your avocado
goodness.
Green ice cream.
Adios, Gregorio. Yeah. And then he says, P.S. R.E. the Mexican who wrote those letters you all read. I did not know I couldn't do that. P.S.S. May I put in a request for... Oh, this is good. May I put in a request for Things I've Learned as a Dad episode. 7 weeks to go over here.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
He's about to be a father.
We can do that.
You want him to he's not make his own mistakes?
He's not confident in his.
Learn, dog. Learn. Everything, basically everything that people were telling me, I was like, can you fucking stop telling me shit?
Get comfortable with living in fear. Just get comfortable.
Yeah, but that's basically it. Just
get comfortable with that.
You know what I've learned.
Don't turn around. As soon as you turn around, you hear a crash.
So Gregorio made avocado ice cream.
Banging avocado ice cream.
Sound like avocado ice cream. I don't know if I would want avocado ice cream.
That, you know what? He's a chef, though. Like this is a thing. I've not had a whole lot of conversations with chefs, but if you bring up any food that you've had that wasn't very good, they're like, you haven't had mine. Yeah. Like, I posted once on Facebook, this is something that I just feel like is true in general. Everyone I've ever met thinks they make the best grilled cheese sandwich. Everyone is like, you haven't had mine. So I posted that, and remember Chef Tony from that show at his restaurant? He was like, he literally came back, he was like, you haven't had mine. I was like, you're a chef, man. But my joke was that everyone thinks theirs is the best. But every chef is like, psh, yeah, you should try this, my fucking recipe.
Yeah, you'll fucking lose your mind.
Everything,
yeah.
all my food has banging in front of it. The banging glass of water. So that was Gregorio. Hey, email us again sometime, Gregorio.
Yeah,
we never hear from you. We got one from Howard. Howard writes about episode 444, which is last Thursday. Yo, guys, it's your boy.
It's your boy.
Howie, baby. First off, wish me luck. As of the time I send this, I should be getting ready to go across the state to meet a girl I met online, and she is totally DTF.
Wait a second.
It's not going to work out good for you.
I don't know about that.
It's not going to work out good for
she's
you.
She's totally DTF, though.
Going to have to.
It's not
going to
work out good for you.
Have some.
He's meeting her?
Quality.
He met her online. He's meeting her in person.
Oh. Met her online.
He's driving across the state. She's not driving to him.
Not going to go good for you.
Did she send you...
She didn't send
30 me. Pictures of every angle of her body.
It ain't going good.
Does the F in DTF mean fraud?
Let us know. I mean, let us know if, you know, if it turns out. But
wish him luck.
As an online dater.
Wish him luck.
Wish you luck, man. Wish you good luck.
Catfish is not just something you eat.
No, yeah. Dang, it ain't gonna go good.
Banging catfish.
Yeah, I said banging catfish, man.
With banging avocado ice cream.
Yeah. With seasoning and cellulite on it.
So how far do you drive for an online girl? What is the radius? Like 50 miles? Do you go that far?
You can.
I once drove 70 miles for a phone call.
Good Lord.
This is before online, so that's the only thing I can equate it to. I drove from San Antonio to Austin one time.
But you had seen her, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
this wasn't some new shit.
Yeah, it's different.
I wouldn't do that.
Seen her, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Pictures, pictures, how much do you need to see in pictures before you drive 70 miles, let's say?
Well, that's what
it's
I would like.
It's not even how much I need to see.
You talk to her online.
You talk to her online,
Is that I need to know a lot of things. What's the date of the picture?
Have you?
What's the angle of the picture?
Yeah. What's the angle? It's usually up. If it's up, not
she's
a good.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't see anything below her chin.
Yeah. Actually, that one's been, I have to say, I've been fooled once by that one.
Me too.
The down shot?
Yeah, where she did the down shot, and I was like, okay, she's a little, sorry, not. Small, super small. So I was like, why are you doing fat girl stuff? You need a photographer.
I got burned. There was a woman, and funny thing is, I knew her in high school. In high school, she was beautiful. She was beautiful, but she was kind of nerdy. You know, there was this thing like, you know, we got back in touch and, you know, there's this whole thing. Oh, you know, you're kind of cool now. You know, you seem like.
I like you now.
I like you now. You know.
Yeah.
And she sent me a picture like from basically neck up. Looked great.
Yeah.
Went to see her. Now, okay, you talk about how far you go. She lives, I live here.
Right.
She lived in like the Philly side of Jersey, basically.
Okay. Ooh.
So
like
I went.
Camden?
Yeah, around in there.
Okay.
So I went up there.
So 295.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Now, so I go all
the Delaware Bridge.
Deal all that. And, you know, obviously, I mean, they call me the happy boy. I'm not a small person.
Right.
She's about three of me.
Whoa.
She's the happy Buddha.
She didn't tell you that.
She's plural.
She was the happy Buddhist.
She couldn't tell you that.
She's the happy entire religion of Buddhism.
So you had to make three non-left turns and get
the
fuck out
exactly.
Of there.
Literally, it was not good, man. And I felt bad because she was... You know,
she was
really
sweet.
Pleasant, night, very nice.
Damn right, she was. Yeah. She had to be pleasant. She had to be pleasant.
Sweeter than rhubarb pie.
Yeah,
you better be nice. You better be nice, and you better be a good cook.
Yeah. No.
Wow.
No. Yeah, it was bad.
That's bad.
So yeah, now I got to see some full body shots.
Full body. Just put the pictures up there. What is the problem?
Yeah.
Put the pictures
don't
up there, man.
Tell the truth. Mm. Put it out
Stop
there.
Stop trying
me know.
To hide from us. We men are creepy.
I'm going
to
see you.
We are creepy. We are investigators.
Yeah, we might be into it.
We're going to find out. If you like us, just go ahead and tell us right up front, by the way.
Yeah.
A little bit of extra, you know.
Right. I'd say it just like that.
I'd be making
little
rhubarb.
A little bit of extra.
I mean, I like rhubarb. Like, that's how big I am. I like rhubarb. Nobody likes rhubarb.
You know, I'm a brother, you know, a little bit of extra.
Yeah.
We can work.
You know,
work it out. It's no, yeah.
Yeah. But what else you say?
Howard says about Beyonce, which we talked about last week. While I understand that there are black women in R&B that should be more famous than they are, but aren't due to Beyonce, let us see Janelle Monáe, Elle Varner.
I don't think it's due to Beyonce.
Beyonce is more an entertainer than anything, which is why the industry takes more of a liking to her than, say, Janelle, who was outspoken in her refusal to come out half naked on stage.
There's
Beyonce's good looking.
Always happens. Yeah.
I think
she's a good performer.
She
always happens.
That's a lot.
And she shows it.
Yeah, that's a lot of it.
They said that about Alicia Keys.
Yeah,
and
Beyonce's good looking.
How
and she,
NDIRE should have been more famous than Alicia Keys.
And I don't know about more famous.
But did she have?
I would say just as talented. Let me say it like that. But I wouldn't say
different.
More famous or less famous. That's what I wouldn't say more famous or less famous. I would just say that they're playing a different sport.
Exactly.
Beyonce's playing a different sport. That doesn't mean that I like the fact that she shit on Lettucey's moment. Should have let Lettucey had her moment. You're singing a spiritual. There's no dancing. There's no half naked dancing involved in that.
I think she had a full length dress on. For
it's
that.
It's a spiritual.
She wasn't like, you know, shoving her ass in people's faces.
Let Lettucey have her moment. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but as far as like stage show and stuff like that, they're playing a different sport.
Right. And well, as far as Janelle Monáe, I mean, I like Janelle Monáe. That she's an acquired taste. I mean, I don't think she's ever going to be.
Yeah.
She's never going to be have as broad an appeal as Beyonce.
No, not at all. Not at all. She doesn't have as big a voice. She doesn't have the looks.
Right.
Yeah.
And she is kind of in her own lane. She's a little bit smaller, which is fine for. I mean, she's still huge relatively.
I was just saying she's playing a different sport.
Who's Elle Varner?
Elle Varner, this is other.
Right.
I don't even know that.
Newish, newish.
Singer. She had a song with J. Cole.
You know, I mean, again, you're playing a different. You're playing a different sport. You're not playing the same sport. That's exactly. All.
Howard also says, what annoys me is that I'm almost forced to defend Beyonce when people are mad their favorite hood ass R&B singer isn't as famous as Beyonce. Seriously, I had to go meet my cousin at a salon where I argued a woman down about the fact that Jhené Aiko. K. Michelle. Is that Crisette Michelle?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Keisha Cole.
K. Michelle's a different
K. Michelle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Crisette was a C. Okay. K.
Crisette,
Michelle.
Yeah.
Keisha Cole and Tamar Braxton don't have the crossover appeal and really only sing side chick songs.
Let's go. Let's start with the first one. I'll run down the list.
J-H-E-N-E. Jhené
Aoki.
Aoki. I don't know who that is. I don't know who that
is.
She's a young,
brand
young
new
girl.
She's brand new.
I'm super cute.
Brand new. Super cute. So she's out. That X's her out right there.
K. Michelle, not Crisette Michelle. nothing. K. Michelle.
K. Michelle. K. No. Michelle. Yeah. K. Michelle is, she's, first of all, she came from a reality show.
Yes. Okay. So, like I said,
Housewives of, not Housewives, what is it? Oh, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay. So yeah. She's out.
She's, yeah. Yeah. It's, but she can, but for,
she can't sing.
For a reality TV slut, she can sing. Yeah. Yeah. So everybody's like, that bitch can sing. You be singing, girl. That bitch be singing. You need to be famous.
Oh, Lord.
Like, what's her name? Like Keisha
yeah.
Cole.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
yeah.
the next one on the list.
Who can't sing?
Keisha Cole is just a
hood ass.
Just a hood ass singer. Yeah, so yeah. There's no reason for her to be as big as mentioned in the same breath as Beyonce, no. Nor Lettucey. Okay.
And
so.
Then, no. Tamar Braxton is the fourth.
Tamar. Never understood the appeal of Tamar Braxton. Again, it's the Braxton reality show shit that kind of put her on. I never understood the appeal for her. I personally don't care for her. Mm-hmm. To me, I'm like, look, there's only one Braxton, and it's Tony. That's the way I look at it. So,
well, and Howard says they don't have the crossover appeal and really only sing side chick songs.
No, they're not. And which, he's right, they don't.
Which, I mean, the fact that I'm getting all their names wrong tells you how they cross over.
I'm not bitching because Earl Sweatshirt isn't as famous as Drake. I mean,
exactly.
It's a different thing.
Yeah, they're not. They're in a complete. Yeah. Again, they're in a complete different league. They're in the hood league, and the hood league is what it is.
And then Howard says, probably didn't help me that a POG white girl, PAWG white girl,
fat ass white girl,
walked in and started chatting me up in the middle of a salon full of black women.
Who cares? You should have drugged that bitch out.
And
it's all about her at the moment.
And gave me her
at
number.
That moment. Yeah.
Gave me her number when I got done arguing with her. Randolph and Tim know what that means.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Yeah, you driving across the state, and you got this
you
POG
got this,
number.
You got
in your
POG
pocket?
All in you?
Yeah. I got POG all in my face. POG all in my phone.
I can smell
what are you
your
doing?
Hands. You got POG all on your hands.
What are you doing?
Smell it.
Better holler at that POG. Quit messing around.
What he's doing is he's hedging his bets.
Yeah.
He's hedging his lonely bets. Mm-hmm. He's trying
POG
to,
all in my car.
He's trying to keep his options open. Well,
trying to get POG all in my room.
So he's
you
in
got
salon
one, you
arguing,
need five.
He's arguing in the salon with all the black women about these R&B singers, and then this white girl walks
and
in.
And POG comes
he
in.
He gets her number.
Yeah, POG comes
so
in.
So they
man.
Hated the shit out of
him. Say POG a few more times. Say POG eight more times.
POG.
Howard also says, finally, about The Daily Show. I don't really know who I'd want, but it's definitely not Jamie Kilstein.
Oh, hell no.
I'm going to be honest with
you. Is he
an
option?
Jamie Kilstein is. Jamie Kilstein is
ideological.
You probably know, right?
You know Jamie Kilstein?
I don't know Jamie.
Liberal?
Yeah, you don't need to.
Oh, okay.
He is the far left liberal comedian.
Okay.
And when I do comedian, I'm doing air quotes.
Okay. He's sort of an activist.
Activist.
I don't really know who I'd want. It's definitely not Jamie Kilstein. I'm going to be honest with you. Jamie strikes me as a kind of male feminist who marries that kind of outspoken and obnoxious feminist woman that finds sexism in literally everything he has or does.
Right.
Guy probably has to jerk off the Cosmopolitan. I would, however, like to see Janine Garofalo to
you
piss
hit,
off my smug ex-friend who's a black Tea Party member.
You
who hates
hit
her.
Jamie Kilstein right on the
tea
head.
Party,
he did marry a liberal blogger, writer, not blogger.
I don't see Garofalo doing it. She's she doesn't have the oomph
performance.
Right. Gotta be.
Maybe
people gotta like you on camera immediately, and she doesn't really bring that.
Well, that was the end of Howard's email. We'll save Monique's email for Thursday's episode. But since we're talking about Daily Show, Rod from Black Eye Who Tips sent us his choices. Rod says the title is "What Up, Andy and Them Ninjas."
Sheesh.
I'm not gonna say it. You can't bait me. Here's my Daily Show list. Right. Three names. Ed Helms.
Interesting.
He was on the show.
Yeah
interesting.
It wouldn't be terrible.
He's going in-house. Ellen. No. I don't know if she has a cush job.
She has a great job that she's not
she ain't
going
leaving
to
that no, for she, the Daily Show.
I think she kind of, I don't know how political she would get.
Can you do them both
again,
at
though,
the same time?
Maybe she could, but no, the Daily Show, that's a grind.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's hard.
But I don't know how political, she might turn it into more of like what Craig Kilborn had, which is like celebrity interviews and like spoof of just pop culture, not just news.
See, I think it would be hard. They could do that, obviously, but I think it would be hard to go back.
Yeah.
Now that they've kind of gone, they've kind of established a political thing.
They have to change. They have to get a new name and everything.
Right.
It wouldn't be the Daily Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then his third choice is Rob Corddry, also former Is he still on the show? I don't think he's on the show anymore.
No.
No, but no, he was, and he's not a... Well, they're not going to pick him. He's a white male.
So right.
Not
well, Ed Helms, too.
And he's doing Hot Tub Time Machine, too. No.
Yeah, again, does he want to... That's the other thing. Do people want to go and do... Back. A talk show is a grind, man. A lot of people just don't want to... Like, every time one of these things come up, it's like, Tina Fey. Well, maybe she's like, I don't want to fucking do that.
I don't want to do that shit. Fame. Yeah. Tina Why Fame would you want to do that? It's
a hard job.
It's
hard,
not an easy... Hard, yeah.
It's a tough job.
It's a tough job. It's a
the
tough
only thing
job.
About it, the only thing about it is, if and you're it's a all comic you. On the road, you now get to live in New York
you
City.
You got a family, yeah.
And you're in one spot. Mm-hmm. And you have basically a 9-to-5
but
job now.
But you stress
now.
The fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you it's have like a 9-to-8 job.
Do you want that stress?
But you got a nine. You got a daily job. Well, you can set your life up now. You don't have to worry. I don't have to go
well,
out.
Well, even John Stewart was like, he made a joke about how he hasn't seen his kids in years. Yeah. I mean, you're home, but you're not home.
Right. Yeah. Much. You're thinking about
the show. A guy without the family would be probably the ideal choice.
Yeah.
In terms of the hours he can put in and if he's not wants to, doesn't want to be on the road.
I said mine. Mark Maron.
Well, here's Rod said, also Tim was dismissive of Aisha Tyler, but she does a great interview podcast as host of Talk Soup, and whose line is it anyway, right? Why not her?
Well, she's it's different than being on funny. Television, although she is on television now.
Right.
I don't know if she's...
She might be all right. She's charming.
I wouldn't rule her out.
I wouldn't either. But as a...
I'm trying to tell you, Samantha Bee's right there.
I would say she'd be... The problem with Samantha Bee is she's not as famous as Aisha Tyler. But
so Samantha she B's might right not there. Be for the fan base that's already there. They know Samantha Bee.
She would be good.
So, I feel like every time I see a Samantha Bee segment, I'm underwhelmed.
I'm okay. Now that's a better argument. Than
I just don't think she's that great.
That's a better argument than she's not as famous as Aisha Tyler. That's a much better argument.
It's just that's more.
I don't particularly have a problem with being underwhelmed. I'd like to. You know, we can give it a shot and see how long it goes. Unless you give me another name.
Well, Ed Helms and Rob Corddry, I think, would both be good.
Those are great names. Those are great suggestions. Rob Corddry probably, to me, is because he brings a little more
he's the
edge
guy,
to it, I think.
Like, after Colbert and Steve Carell, they moved on to bigger careers. Uh-huh. Rob Corddry's trying to do that right now, but he hasn't quite broken through. So he's actually still... Yeah. Available.
Well, he's got to stop doing Hot Tub Time Machine too. Hot Tub Time Machine without Kuzak.
He's got to make that number. Yeah, that's the thing. He's got to make that money though. So
I ain't mad at him for it. I mean, Murphy did Norbit. I ain't gonna hate on him.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
What about? Okay, let me throw a couple out.
Yeah, you were thinking.
I've been thinking. That was, how about Mike Birbiglia?
Nah. Interesting.
Interesting, but no.
He's not.
Actually, he used to open for John Stewart.
Yeah, I don't know what he thinks about stuff. I mean, I know he's left-leaning, and he is very likable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That could actually work. It depends on if he'd want to get that ideological, because his stand-up is kind of apolitical.
Right.
You know, but that people love Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah.
He's extremely likable.
That's kind of what I was
not about. A bad choice, actually.
Who else?
She was on the Daily Show, like, briefly. I'm trying to think of her name. Eurasian woman.
Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
I don't know if she could anchor a show.
I just want to look at her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
She could be on and she could sit next to the anchor.
Exactly.
Yeah. She's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Saw a story.
She's
with
got
that.
A show on right now. She's on.
She's on Newsroom.
That's done now though.
It's over. Much, yeah. So she's not doing.
Oh,
anything
it's over.
She's not doing anything
did
besides
they cancel
being
it or
Aaron
did they
Rodgers.
Stop it?
He just ended it.
Aaron Sorkin. Okay.
Yeah.
But she's not doing anything right now besides being Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend. So
right.
That's gonna get old.
Yeah.
Unless she becomes his wife, then she's gonna be like, I'm good now.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to.
She was on a show. She was on the Daily Show.
She was on
the
Daily Show. Because it was kinda controversial.
Tag of the show, yeah.
Michelle Beadle.
Well, you know
who I can't stand.
You don't like Beadle?
Nah.
Who is she?
She is the new blonde in training at ESPN.
She's not new though. She was
there.
She's
been there for a long time.
Yeah, and then she left.
They're pushing her now.
She left to go do like Good Morning America or whatever. Yeah. And she came back.
Yeah, she also does a thing on HBO now, HBO Boxing. That Larry what's the cat that the host? He has his own boxing show.
Was it Larry Merchant?
Not Larry Merchant, the other cat. B-E-A-D-L-E Lampley has his own show.
Oh, yeah.
She does correspondence things on that.
She went to San Antonio. I don't know why you don't like her.
I don't care for her.
She's like cute enough to be approachable, so a lot of guys are into her.
Right.
Like, I could see myself talking to her in a bar.
She's 40.
She looks like she drinks a lot. I haven't got a shot with her.
I like her on that one show. I don't think she could do the Daily Show.
The Sports Nation.
Yeah.
Because
I've seen what happened. I don't watch the show regularly, but I've seen what happened that show after she left. She's good on that show.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I want to see her on the Daily Show.
Yeah.
But. She looks dirty.
Yeah, doesn't she? She looks a little.
Word around the campfire is that she is a little dirty.
She's a little dirty.
Dirty like, you know, but she looks like dirty she gets down.
That's the word around the campfire on her.
Yeah, I don't know. As far as Rod's choice is, I think Ellen would be the bottom of the ladder. Just because I don't think she's.
That's an outside the box pick, though.
Yeah.
As far as this type of thing. It's far outside the box.
She is obviously political occasionally, with especially sexuality stuff. But I don't know if she'd want to just do politics. She never did it in stand-up. Her stand-up was always just like observational slice of life.
And she's got a cake job.
Right.
Yeah, and people love her.
That's the, yeah.
She got a cake job. That would mean that the show would have to change.
Right.
To also, you have to remember that whoever the show comes to, the voice of the show has to change for the host.
Right.
So...
It might not be a political show.
Stop being the show that it was. You need to get a political comic. And
I think they would go with somebody on the rise. I don't think that Ellen's already big.
Yeah.
Lee Camp.
Lee Camp. He's doing a show like that right now.
Doing a show.
Right.
On Russia TV.
RT Network.
Yeah.
Redacted Tonight.
Russia TV.
Oh, it is called Redacted, isn't it?
Yeah, Redacted Tonight.
Redacted. You know. What did you guys think of... the Eddie Murphy thing where he told Norm he just didn't want to do I just don't want to do it. I don't want to do.
What do you mean?
The sketch. Bill Cosby.
The Bill Cosby.
He just didn't want to do the sketch.
So they tried to come to Eddie Murphy to do the sketch? I don't know the story.
Norm is the writer. And Norm was part of the writer. And one of the sketches they were going to
do. Norm McDonald?
Okay. So one of the sketches they were going to do for Jeopardy was they have all these stars and they were going to have Bill Cosby, Eddie Murphy, do Bill Cosby. On the Celebrity Jeopardy
stirring stage. A drink.
During a drink, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and
that's funny.
Norm's job was to go talk him into doing the sketch. Norm went and talked to him, and he was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to kick him in.
Well, at first, Norm said he was convinced Eddie would do it. Eddie changed his mind after he thought about it.
Yeah. So Norm was actually very, I don't want to say praiseful of Eddie, but he was definitely like, yeah, Eddie's, doesn't seem like the kind of guy who needs to get the laughs.
He praised the shit out of
him. Yeah, he was like, we need to get the laugh. Eddie doesn't need to get the laugh. You know. And that should have been the end of it. But then that started...
Of course. That's never the end.
The echo chamber began, it was, well, Eddie, you don't want to make fun of a rapist? What about you and that transsexual?
Yeah,
I was like, that has nothing at all to do with anything.
No.
Just holding that under.
Because this guy wrote an article.
Also, the whole kick people when they're down thing, they're like, well, in 1983, you made jokes about, dude, that was he was 20 years old.
Exactly. You do all kinds of shit at 20.
We're talking about the joke that he did about Bill Cosby calling him. That's not a kicking. There's nothing.
No.
There's not
he
really
made fun
any...
of other people.
Yeah,
I'm saying. He kicked other people who were down.
Okay. Okay.
In
so
his
this,
early 20s.
This fucking guy writes an article why Eddie Murphy
They did the sketch. It was just Kenan Thompson.
Right.
Here's the scene, the end of the sketch.
I spelled your name on a snowbank, of course. It was your mother's handwriting.
That's Sean Connery.
It's Sean Connery's good friend.
Celebrity Jeopardy.
So does he.
I despise you. Burt Reynolds. Why don't you give me Andre the Giant for...
This is toward the end of the sketch. It was like a 9-minute sketch.
It's not a category. Let's just go to Potent Portables for $600. It's our video daily double, and it's about alcoholic beverages. Let's hear what this celebrity has to say about his favorite cocktail.
Okay, now this Potent Portables is one part Frappa Jamma, and then
Oh dear God, no. No. Oh dear God, no. I'm very sorry. We filmed that in June.
That was by Trebek.
So that's
it was. Good night. Please stop it.
That was Eddie Murphy's part that he
turned
in.
Supposed to be Eddie Murphy. It would have been bigger if Eddie Murphy.
Oh, it'd have brought the house down.
It would have killed it. It would have killed it. But
he's like, I don't particularly care to do that. And,
yeah.
And that should have been that.
Right.
You know? But everybody, and then here comes this, Eddie Murphy was a miracle, this fucking guy. You know, pretty much what it came down to for everybody was, how come you're not as funny as I remember you being? That's what this whole shit has come down to.
I think you don't want to dance for us anymore.
I think there's another thing, too, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, but when you are someone who people think is supposed to be funny and you fail to make them laugh, they hate you.
Or try.
If you try to make them laugh, and you like, not even just comedians, people just at a fucking party and you make a joke, you make a couple jokes, and they don't. People like they furrow their brows like, it wasn't funny. Like, they get mad at you. Like, you've broken the contract. Right. So Eddie Murphy walks out. Their expectations is like, oh shit, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. And he just goes, all right, thanks, guys.
Thanks
cut
so
the
much.
Commercial.
I appreciate you.
And they're like, fuck that, man.
What the fuck?
How dare he not be funny for me when I expected it?
Right. Yeah.
And so people just hate it when you attempt to be funny or they expect you to be funny and it doesn't work.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not just like, they don't just think, oh, that didn't work.
How dare you not
they
be
think,
as funny as I
guy.
Thought you would, as I need you to be, or as you're not as funny as I remember you being. And then all the pieces begin up. Oh, he didn't want to talk about Bill Cosby because you might talk about the transsexual that he was riding with his car. I'm like, well, it's not illegal to ride around with a transsexual in your car. Right. That's not an illegal thing at all. At all.
The only thing was, now it's not anything to do with A. Murphy, because you had heard, at least by the time I watched it, I had heard that was, you know, initially intended for Eddie Murphy to do that. It was weird to, it kind of threw
to
me
see
off
him.
To see, Kenan Thompson do it.
Yeah,
That's not, that's nobody's fault. It was just, you know, sort of like, you know, the part was written for X, and then you see why I do it. But I mean, it was fine. I kind of, you know, sure, the part of me that fell in love with Saturday Night Live because of Eddie Murphy, because I was a generation when I started watching it, would have liked to have seen him do a bit on the show. But
would have been one
right.
This is the thing. Well,
the weird thing to me is they offered him one part in one sketch.
Yeah,
like it was 3.5 hours.
My next
show.
Question. Right. Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
Like, and Norm Macdonald had a whole thing on Twitter. He's like, "This show is a monster to write because it's 3.5 hours, and a lot of people came into town, like former cast members and writers, just to write for the show." You would think they'd be like, "Let's figure out, let's come up with 10 ways to get Eddie in."
Yeah,
and he'll pick the one. But they only zeroed in on one attempt to get him off.
Why don't we have Eddie and Joe do a sketch together?
Right.
You know?
Well, which they might have discussed.
Why have
we not
let's recreate a sketch. Let's have him do James Brown Celebrity Hot Tub.
Right. And they might have done some of that.
I think that's the one that I'm pretty sure they pitched that to him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And he was like, I'm not doing that.
Bro. Yeah.
But Norm Zori is almost like we only went to him with this one thing.
Yeah,
you know that's what
it seemed like to me.
It seems like you would try really hard to get him on in some capacity.
This is what this writer says, and I think this pretty much says it to me in a nutshell. How everybody feels about him. When I went to an early screening of Dreamgirls, I stepped outside and ran into Bill Condon, the director of the film. And as I started talking to him about Eddie, I found myself getting very emotional. It is hard for me to fully describe how possessive I was of Murphy as a star. That was me fucking it up. You just keep to yourself, boy.
Improvising.
It is hard for me to fully describe.
Yes,
I've been drinking. You stop.
Yes.
It is hard for me to fully describe how possessive I was of Murphy as a star when I was young. I felt like his success was something that my friends and I were part of, and that we were the ones Murphy was speaking to. And watching him slowly transform into this humorless weirdo has been upsetting precisely because of how much he meant to us. And that is it in a nutshell. Right there, you feel this weird ownership over him.
Right.
Be as funny as I want you to be. Don't grow as
right
a person
now.
Don't go in another direction. Don't become another thing. Don't try new shit. Right. Just be what
just
I want you to be.
Yeah.
And see, Steve Martin was the same way, and I don't hear people giving Steve Martin nearly as much shit. I mean, he does, you know, and that's fine. I mean, he writes novels.
He plays in a band.
Right.
Exactly the way Eddie does.
Yeah.
I heard Eddie the next day on a radio show. He was going around to different black radio shows talking about his music, you know. And he was like, I've always been. People think this music thing is like a new thing to
it's
him.
It's like he's always played
music. He's like, I've always played music. Played guitar. I always played drum. Arsenio's always played music.
Arsenio did Arsenio's show like when a year and a half ago when it came back. And he was funny on that.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I've said. Every time I've seen him talking, he's funny. Yeah. I don't know what people, what you, so just do stand-up. Well, maybe he doesn't want to do stand-up anymore.
Or sketches. He might not want to do sketches.
He may not want to do that anymore.
With stand-up, I wouldn't, I mean, think about the pressure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you talk about, everybody feels this ownership of him. Because in my lifetime.
You have to be what you are.
Right. You know, in my lifetime, no comedian has ever been as big as Eddie Murphy was as big.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, you know everybody has these memories of him, and we probably distorted them. Yeah. Or he's been,
I mean, this fucking guy, I no longer believe that. I think Eddie Murphy is afraid to offend. And if that's the case, I don't think we ever need to see him return to form for him. That's fucking stupid.
Well, and so,
Eddie's like this PG person now.
But he did start at some point making movies for kids because he had kids. It was that classic thing. Like, I always hated that, by the way, when people are like, I just want to make something that my kids can see. Your kids can see you at home, dude.
Yeah.
You're there.
Do the lines from 48 hours without all the fucking cursing.
Like, your kids can see you all the time. Yeah. I never understood that, but a lot of stars do that shit. They're like,
I don't particularly have a problem with that.
I gotta do something
you want,
for my kids.
You want
big money movies,
you know, it doesn't make you... Again, you're holding on to what you need him to be. I need you to be raw Eddie Murphy that I saw. I need you to be delirious Eddie Murphy. Mm-hmm. I need you to be 48 hours Eddie Murphy. I need you to be all these things that I like.
Right.
That's what I need you to be.
He's like, no, I just stay at home and smoke weed all day, man.
Yeah, I'm not doing that no more, dog.
I'm going to my bowling alley, dog.
Play some guitar.
Play some music, man.
Exactly. Would I like to see it? Yeah, but I don't feel like he owes me that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people think is, look, we sat through this whole Saturday Night Live special. You owe us for sitting through this.
Well, it was built up.
You going to dance.
The headline.
Yeah.
You going to dance.
Yeah.
For like 2 weeks, it was like, Eddie Murphy's going to be back.
Yeah.
Like, that was the story. It wasn't SNL
40. They knew he wasn't doing shit.
Yeah.
They knew he wasn't doing it. They like, Eddie Murphy's here, guys. Yeah. He's in the back. He's over there. Standing around,
he don't care. He's like, I don't really.
Did Tim Meadows come back? Did any other black?
All of them.
Yeah, Tim Meadows.
All
of
them came back.
Garrett Morris.
I mean, all of them except apparently for
Ellen Claghorn.
She was there.
No, she was there. She was the thing from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
She's been working on a PhD.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not going to be funny anymore.
No,
I wish she was funny like she used to be.
Well, keep in mind when you say all the black comedians came back Saturday Night Live, it's not a big list.
All three?
All three of them came back.
Except for Victoria Jackson, apparently.
She was there, though.
She says.
Victoria Jackson was there?
Oh, it's hilarious.
She used to be fine back in the day.
Wasn't she?
Yeah.
Now she's a bloated soccer mom.
Yeah. Crazy, hyper right wing soccer mom.
Yeah. Yeah, she's insane, and that was part of what she says. Victoria Jackson was part of the Saturday Night Live cast for 6 years, but imagine her surprise when she wasn't invited to be part of the live audience during the 40th anniversary special on Sunday. Jackson told Inside Edition she believes since she is a Christian conservative, they chose to keep her alienated from everyone
else. Sarah Palin was in the audience.
Sarah Palin was there.
So, and she got a speaking part.
Yeah.
So what now, Victoria? Sarah Palin is maybe crazier.
Fucking
well, maybe not crazier.
As crazy
as. She's definitely a worse person.
She's a worse person, yeah.
She definitely, like, she might think the same shit Victoria Jackson thinks, but she won't say it as much, as outright. She'll say it in a different language.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You betcha.
So, I mean, you betcha.
She
was a lot of those. So she was there, you know.
But Victoria Jackson said they made her sit in an aside room.
No, they didn't.
Where all the stars got to sit in the audience, and then she snuck her way into the audience later. And then someone from SNL had like some explanation, like, no, she was in a side room, and then it's distracting to have someone walk in and sit down, like, so we didn't have time to have her do that. I don't know what's true or what's not, but everything in her life is a conspiracy. She's always going to see a conspiracy, and no matter what, she's like, oh, the government, you know, whatever it is. So of course she thinks there's some kind of force against her.
Yeah,
she has to think that.
Yeah,
I mean, if Chipotle runs out of lettuce,
yeah, well, they don't want to serve Christian conservatives lettuce. It's,
the guy before me got lettuce, and the guy
he's a liberal
got
and
lettuce.
He got lettuce.
He was liberal. Ugh. He ordered the vegetarian, huh? He was liberal.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just everything in her life has to be trumped up, and then these shows like Inside Edition bring her on because it's like, oh, ratings.
Yeah,
crazy lady on the air. You know,
what's our time?
Hour 14.
Okay, we got time for maybe one more on this first one. Are you going to hang in for the second one? We usually record two.
Yeah, I'd be happy
you
to.
In? Good. Since today, this is, we're recording on Sunday. The Oscars are tonight.
Right.
Oscar voter reveals brutally honest ballot. Oh, there's no Art to Selma, Boyhood, and Uneven, which is, I thought was an interesting. I actually thought reading it. First of all, everybody was like shocked. I was like, I don't know why. Why are you shocked that a voter would think like this? And B, I thought it was an honest view into how a lot of voters think. The average age of the Oscar voter is 60-ish. And the race of them is white. So you're talking about 60-year-old white people. Okay. So for my purposes, what was interesting to me was what this person who is a longtime member of the Academy's 378-member public relations branch. Now, understand, is it 378 voters or 378-member public relations branch?
I don't know. I think there's more voters than that. But she's part of that particular
so she says,
branch.
And it's anonymous, so, you know, take with that what
maybe
you
it was
want.
Victoria Jackson.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy.
First, let me say that I'm tired of all this talk about snubs. I thought for every one of the snubs, there was a justifiable reason. What no one wants to say out loud is that Selma is a well-crafted movie, but there's no art to it. If the movie had been directed by a 60-year-old white male, I don't think that people would have been carrying on about it to the level that they were.
I think maybe more so.
That's what I feel. That's what I feel. But that's fine. But okay, so far, I'm okay with what she said.
She didn't see it as very artistic.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. That's why you're a judge. You get to decide if it's artistic or not.
Right.
As far as the accusations about the Academy being racist, yes, most members are white males, but they're not the cast of Deliverance. They had to get into the Academy to begin with,
but
so they're not
cretinous,
snaggletooth hillbillies. They're not Southerners.
You know what she's doing? It's that thing where, like, the only time people accept are racist is if they're literally lighting a cross on fire.
Yeah,
like, everything else, like, no, not really.
That's what she's doing.
So, yeah, okay, they might not be the cast of Deliverance, but is that the only type of
racist? That's the only type of racist for her. When a movie about black people is good, members vote for it. Do they?
Whenever that happens. We're waiting.
Been a while.
But if the movie isn't that good, am I supposed to vote for it just because it has black people in it?
No.
Okay. No, actually, you're not.
No.
You're not. All right.
Which is why Red Tails didn't get it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No one was saying snub for Red Tails.
For Red Tails. No one said that. No. You know? All right. It did, however, get an NAACP Image Award.
Well,
I wonder why. You
know? Hadn't Tyler Perry won some NAACP Image Award?
Of course he has.
Yeah, he probably owns the whole.
That's true. What about
like
sponsored by Tyler Perry?
It was like 30% of that.
He won the Tyler Perry Lifetime Award.
Yeah. Did. And you know what? If they wanted to give us an award, we'd be sitting our asses in that audience in fucking tuxedos.
Hey, hey.
We'd like to give three guys on the Tyler Perry Podcast Award. We'd be like, thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey, why is Tyler also holding his statue?
For this award?
Yeah. Why did he get an
award? Is Madea going to come out and give it to us? Because that's what we thought was going to happen.
Can we meet her?
You know, there's Tyler Perry and Madea never in the same room together. Something's going on.
And then Black Eyed Tips is like, snub.
Yeah, and then Rod.
We got snubbed.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we didn't see a lot of art in your podcast, Rod.
And the three Negroes just stand shaking their fists at us the whole time. So here's where she goes left.
Or right.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. Depending on how you look at it. Mm. I've got to tell you, having the cast show up in T-shirts saying, I can't breathe at their New York premiere, I thought that stuff was offensive. Did they want to be known for making the best movie of the year or for stirring up shit?
Why not both?
And that right there is the problem I have with this person.
Why can't you be both?
Yeah. Because,
especially when you're making a movie about a guy who, in the movie, protests injustice.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of right in line with. If you watch that movie, it's all about one particular protest. It's not about his whole life, even. It's just about this year. So. Why wouldn't they? You would expect them to be of that mindset.
The problem I have now is that last sentence
mm-hmm.
now brings into doubt
all the previous sentences. Now none of the previous sentences have any resonance to me because I'm like, well, you looked at everything through the lens of how dare these niggers do that.
There's one more sentence.
And now it's...
How dare these black...
There's one more sentence. I'm going to skip ahead for a second.
Did she put another one in there?
The next... This is why.
Because it was an American
this
Sniper.
Is why. The next paragraph is about American Sniper. The last sentence.
Uh-oh.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was well done. And I can separate out the politics from the filmmaking.
Ah.
Well, really?
Because it doesn't seem like you did that on the previous
right.
movie.
Because she was talking about all the different like political backlash against American Sniper.
Right.
Apparently, it's okay with American Sniper to just say, oh, I'm looking at it as just a piece of filmmaking. Mm-hmm. But with Selma, she's checking out E.T.'s red carpet camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that has nothing to do with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, nothing at all to
Why
do with it.
Why are you
yeah.
reading In Touch magazine to judge Selma? No
the
one
cast.
Gives a fuck.
You know, did you read the American Sniper book, the guy in the book he wrote? That I reference a lot.
No, because it's just she's separating it all from
but
the
she
movie.
Separated it. Yeah, so she's right. able to do that for the white movie, but she can't do that for the black movie, is what you're saying.
By the way,
so
I didn't see any video of the filmmakers wearing I Can't Breathe t-shirts because I don't watch those shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to see any of that.
You don't have to watch any of those shows.
I saw the movie. I saw Selma.
You know, but you know what? I bet you somebody that was watching that show that was probably bored to death, that part was like, this is good. I like this right here. Pretty good. Good. This high moment.
Well,
I'm tired of talking about dresses and fucking shoes. I want to see some drama.
And see, American Sniper, which I saw, and, you know, I didn't, out now, be honest with you, I wasn't aware of the politics as much because I hadn't read the book. Prior to seeing the movie, I didn't know as much about the dude, but that would be my example of like it was a well crafted film, but you know, it's not The Hurt Locker, it's not Zero Dark 30.
Yeah, right.
It's not, I mean, it was okay, it was fine.
Yeah, Hurt Locker is ridiculous,
yeah,
yeah,
to put it up. Now, I haven't seen it, so I can't really compare it to
it's a well crafted
to Hurt Locker.
There are also a lot of,
but I would think it was because. He makes good war movies.
Right. He makes it. You know,
there are a lot of great movies about real life people who were unlikable.
Right.
Goodfellas. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be a guy we like. Mm-hmm. If it's a good movie, it's a good movie. So, I mean, there's tons of examples of that. I mean, the Nixon movie was praised. He's not a likable guy.
We didn't like Nixon?
No. Not a fan of Nixon.
Afraid not. I like Birdman, but Andy doesn't like Birdman. See how that goes? My father-in-law didn't like Birdman, but I like Birdman.
I liked it. I wasn't crazy about the ending.
See how that
her
goes?
Analysis of Birdman is kind of what I thought. It's a love letter to acting, and people in that industry are going to be like, so great.
Yeah.
She's also putting it down to money. I mean, American Sniper made more in its third weekend and wide release than Birdman has made in its entirety. Aren't you supposed to not give a fuck about that?
Exactly.
In the Academy?
No, she just said, her whole point was, I don't know how much is resonating out in the world. In Hollywood, it's a big deal because it's about the industry we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but that's a fairly decent analysis of
Birdman. But then you turn around and you say, well, how much money did Boyhood make? Or as Chris Lambert likes to say, 12 Years a White Boy, how much money did that make?
But, and this is, by the way,
which is a movie I'm never going to see, by the way.
Boyhood?
I'm never going to see it.
The Hollywood Reporter is doing, I think, a series of anonymous conversations with Academy voters. So this is just the first one. So we're going to hear more insights.
And I'm never going to see Whiplash.
You see, I saw both of them. Boyhood, if you like Linklater, it was interesting. I definitely get how people could say it's 12 Years of White Boys. Nothing happens. In the movie, but you know,
aging.
Yeah, a kid grows up.
Yeah.
Shit. But like, if you like Linklater, it was well shot.
Just
it was a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
But no, I mean,
and that's what this lady says. Actually, this Oscar voter, she says, it was a nice, well crafted nothing story.
Yeah,
you're right.
You know.
Now Whiplash, the dude,
J.K. Simmons, who's probably going to win.
Right, he was really good in that part. I like that part. The only thing about Whiplash that I had a problem with is that basically 30 years at least, no, probably about 40, 50 years after anybody gave it, nobody gives a damn about jazz anymore. I love jazz, but like nobody gets all that worked up about being the best day of jazz drummer at a conservatory. I don't, okay, cool, whatever. You know, and it was just like, it's like, really? Really? That's what I was watching. I'm like, I'm the best jazz drummer. Who the fuck cares? You know, that was my whole thing.
Well, you're gonna care when you're playing at the Rhode Island Summer Jazz Festival. You don't care then.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, you know, it just made this, it kind of
It's like if they made a movie.
Distorted the stakes, basically.
You know those kids who can stack those red cups really fast?
Mm-hmm.
Like if they dramatize that to a movie like the best ever. Like, oh, so? It's a fucking parlor trick at this point. Who cares? Yeah.
I just find it funny that the only problem that she seemed to reference was the black people doing black things. That's all she seemed to reference about the movie, and that to me discounts her.
Right.
What she type of criticism she had for the movie
is
seen through the lens of how dare these black people stir shit up.
Well, imagine though, you got to look at it this way though. Imagine what the cast of Deliverance thought of Selma. You know what I mean? Like, she's of the non-racist academy here. Yeah. So you're getting the best possible review.
You know, right, I didn't like the movie, but they had a pretty mouth.
And then black people are going to protest tonight. It's going nowhere.
Yeah.
Do you think your protest is going to be covered, black people? Yeah. By who? Ebony Magazine? Who's it going to be covered by? Jet? Who's going to cover it? It's not going to be covered.
Vibe.
You know?
Vibe.
Start a fight so it can be on World Star. That's all I can tell you. Right. And just shout World Star real loud.
Mm-hmm. You know the bridge that they walked across in Selma? It's still there. It's named after a Klansman. Edmund Pettus Bridge. It's still there. It still has that name. Like, people don't even talk about
that.
They ain't going to change that name. That guy's a hero.
He's an old school Klansman.
Well, he didn't like black people, but, you know, he did good things for the community.
Trains ran on time.
He's responsible for a nice bridge.
Good things for the community.
As far as bridges go, it's a pretty good bridge.
Well, that's her defense. They're not snaggletooth inbreds, so... Because those are all people who are racist. Fucking
exactly.
Bitch.
Look, this mother here got all these blacks in it. I didn't like it.
I didn't like it. Too black for me.
Okay. Now, which one did you like? Whiplash?
Now, Cecil, we can't, that can't be the reason why you didn't like it. There's no art to it, I tell you that. There's no art.
No art.
No art.
No art.
She wants us to talk like that.
No banjos playing, I tell you that much.
Like Whiplash, where they were fighting to be the best white jazz musician.
I like that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Like that.
Anytime I hear a banjo playing, the banjos to me are redneck getaway music. That's all it is. And then a car is just peeling away from some redneck.
While they're playing a banjo.
As the car drives away, a bottle breaks right behind it. They just couldn't throw far enough.
Can't play banjos around black people. No.
Damn it. And then you say whatever name, you know.
It's the
McGregor boys. You know, that's the banjo. Every time I hear banjo, I
the other thing she's doing is I'm not a part of that group, but I can speak for that group.
Yeah. Right.
That type shit.
Yeah. Right.
I would never speak for gay rights.
Well, they feel like I
let them do it.
They feel like they're small, and that's another thing about these type of people. Who imagine the power in your head
that you feel like you have.
I get to vote on this particular
on
movie.
People's lives.
These are people's lives.
Right.
Yeah. These are people's lives.
I get to vote on art.
Yeah,
art
these
gets
are people's
voted
lives.
On.
You know, this is the director of this movie may not be able to conceivably direct another big budget movie like this.
Never, because of my decisions.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Edmund Winston Pettus, a former Confederate Brigadier General, U.S. Senator from Alabama, and Grand Dragon of the Alabama Ku Klux Klan.
First of all, that's a one-star general. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
Just one-star
general. How big a deal is that Grand Dragon of the Klan?
He was a Grand Dragon.
a senator.
Sheesh.
How big is that?
He did become a U.S.
senator. He was higher ranking in the KKK than he was in the Army.
The military.
Yeah,
after the war, he led the Alabama Ku Klux Klan and was a U.S. senator.
Probably why he got out of the Army.
He made it to that
state that won't let gay people marry because based on one fucking crazy judge. The government says they can marry, but fuck it. I don't think we can.
I don't like it.
No.
So they can't.
Well, growing up in Richmond, where we have...
I can't even imagine.
It was fine. It's changed a lot, I will say that. But we have Monument Avenue, which is... except for Arthur Ashe, all monuments and Confederate war heroes.
Right.
You don't really think about it. Mm-hmm. Like later on, especially if you leave, you come back and think like,
that's when you think about it. I had the same thing at the same moment in Texas. Because Texas has Confederate Heroes Day because of Martin Luther King Day.
Yep.
You don't think about the the overt racism that you live in until I moved up here, and then moving back, you start playing back moments
until
in your mind. You're like,
there.
These motherfuckers are so all racist.
God, wait a minute. Damn it.
I sort of smacked the shit out of you. You play back all these moments in your mind because you move away.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that up here is any less racist. Well, you know what? I will say it's racist, but it's not. Let me tell you something. While New York is racist, obviously if you're a black person, you can get killed at any moment by police.
Yeah.
Of course it's racist. It's not as racist as down south. It's just not. The southern racism is such crock potted to perfection. It's so slow cooked,
aged for 20 years
to perfection.
In barrels,
just to perfection. And everybody just is just marinated in it and accepts it. And it's everybody, just the black people and the white people. It's just hey, that's how it is. I've never lived in California, so I don't know if California is like that as much.
I don't know.
I've never lived in the Midwest either.
Right.
I don't know if that is as much.
I feel like the thoughts might be there. I think there's more control.
That could
in
be.
In California or on be. The West. The
yeah.
West.
On the West Coast. Yeah.
Because of the, I guess, the liberals, I guess.
There's more places
more
to
liberal.
Escape.
They're more, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, to escape to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You've got nowhere to go down south.
You've gotten away
to
go.
You gotta leave south.
No, you gotta get the fuck out of south, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, and some, you know, it's interesting because you talk about how it's kind of marinated into you. Because, yeah, there's a lot of shit that, like, growing up, I didn't really think about it. Because I remember I had an extemporaneous speaking class when I was younger. And this was still when they were debating whether or not to make Dr. King's birthday a national holiday. And I remember this one kid, he said, you know, he was like, well, my dad, who was a state senator or whatever, said, well, that would interfere with Lee Jackson Day. And, you know, as a kid, you're kind of like, well, you know, now I'd be like, who the fuck cares?
Gives a fuck about that guy? Gives a fuck about that guy?
Well, then they tried Lee Jackson King Day for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it was.
Yeah, because you grew up here.
Robert E. Lee.
Virginia, yeah.
Stonewall Jackson. And Martin Luther King.
Perfect mix.
A lot of those. Lee Jackson Day was already around.
Right.
Before MLK Day. Mm-hmm. But no one gave a shit. It wasn't on calendars. But then MLK Day comes along and it's like, hey, let's highlight this other day. And now I think, Virginia, technically Lee Jackson Day is like, it's the week before. It's around, it's like 4 or 5 days before MLK Day. But no one observes it. And no one ever observed it. But it didn't start showing up on calendars. I didn't hear about Lee Jackson Day until high school when MLK became a thing. And then it was like Lee Jackson King Day. So we used to joke around in high school, like, yeah, Spike Lee, Jesse Jackson, Martin Luther, like, you know, like, let's make it all black people. But it was technically a day the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It was just never observed.
Like you said, nobody said anything.
How petty you got to be to, I can't have this black guy being praised without somebody white being praised. You petty motherfuckers. You petty motherfuckers. Petty.
You mean like Kyle Petty?
Yeah, like Kyle Petty. And just, again, just marinated.
Where's
in that
day?
Crock pot.
Where's
marinated
Richard Petty's day?
With potatoes thrown in and carrots thrown in and just stewed to a perfect perfection.
Just bring your car down.
A little rhubarb in it just for flavor. Just stewed
a little bit of tart. Like, what is that tart
what
taste?
What is that tart?
I don't know.
That's Lee Jackson Day.
I don't taste it.
You haven't had my banging racism.
Where are we at? We're
going to bring
an hour
and a half.
All right, let's bring this one home, people. Thanks so much. Are you going to sit in with us on the next one?
I would love to.
So Mr. Hughes is going to sit in with us. We will be here.
Make a little shorter on
for you guys on Thursday. We will go a little shorter. We actually have a couple things to talk about. I'll give you a little teaser.
We got an email from Monique.
Got an email. Great. Lolo Jones on 50 Shades of Grey said God didn't create sex for that purpose. We will be talking about that.
Why is she commenting?
Save it. Giuliani. We didn't get to talk. We got talk about that. The celebrity photoshops I found interesting. They took slim stars and made them hefty.
Still
just say,
beautiful.
Say it like that.
Still
they made them hefty.
Beautiful.
And once again, we got a Florida incident, always. Also, this Las Vegas mom in a road rage incident.
Yeah, that the extra
the
wrinkle.
Story changed dramatically.
Oh,
yeah. So we want to thank Jeff for sitting with us today. Mr. Jeff Hughes, the Buddha. Do you have any social stuff you want to give out?
You got a Twitter page?
Right there? I got a Facebook page, Jeff's Happy Buddha Show page. Please like that. As we've mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have a show coming up this Friday at the DC Arts Center. Tickets on sale now, though they are going quickly. Our featured guest, Lawrence Gilliard Jr., and you will see improv by people who are not just the same old white hipsters. And some really good improv of that. Asian moms, uh-oh, they're going to talk about experiences growing up with Asian mothers.
Somebody can find be offended by that.
Hey, hopefully, wait a minute.
Hey, I'm hipster and white.
I started going to improv shows specifically to see white people.
Do hipsters think they're hipsters?
Some of them do.
I thought it
was like the hipster thing not to say you're a hipster.
Yeah, is it? I would think so, too.
Well, I think there's much irony doubling back on top of irony that maybe, ironically, you call yourself
a hipster.
You know? Who knows?
But I don't try to keep up.
Well, this Friday we're going to have unironic improv.
Yeah.
And Randolph will be hosting that.
I will be hosting.
What time is that?
It's at 10 p.m.
10 p.m. Mm-hmm. DC Arts Center.
Yes.
The 27th
of February.
DCAC.
That's right.
Almost the end of Black History Month.
We have had some discussions about some shows at the Draft House. Just last night we started into these discussions. So we will be doing them, apparently. So big thanks coming.
Months.
We'll be letting you know. I will be at, as well as I'm doing the show this Friday coming, next weekend on the 6th, I am in Easton, Maryland at the Avalon Theater.
Who are you bringing?
Jesse Thomas.
Okay.
I'm taking Jesse with me.
A two-man show?
Yeah. We're just doing a two-man show, and because I got to pay the openers.
Right. Yeah, I got the same situation coming up.
So it'll be a two-man show. Yeah. It'll be a two-man show. And the next night I'm at the whatever that country club is. Y'all ain't going to that one, so don't worry about it. Just know that I am working. Okay? So on the 6th, I'm in Easton, Maryland. If you're anywhere in that area near the Avalon Theater, come out and see me. I'm going to be doing 45 minutes, and I'm going to be selling CD download cards. So come get some.
I'll be at the Avalon Theater May 9th.
And Andy will be
so
there May 9th.
Mark that on your calendars. March 5th through 8th, I'll be at Go Bananas in Cincinnati, Ohio, with Bent Washburn. I guess no podcast that weekend.
Probably.
Unless we can record
probably not. We might have to. I mean, if we recorded something quick.
Wednesday or something.
During the week and just did a one-off.
Maybe.
Just
we'll put something. We'll try. We'll do it. Who knows?
I might not have a job. my daughter is doing okay. And no shows coming up. Probably have 15 booked next week. But right now, I got nothing.
Check all right.
All right, so that's it. Other than that, come on back on Thursday. We will all be here for you guys. We hope you guys enjoy today. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And I'm Tim Miller.
St. Nicholas, we have
Jeff Hughes,
the Happy Buddha. And we have three guys on, plus one, which makes us four. And we are out.
The man, Fibian citizen with the lesson plan. Cashier at the J5 concession stand. I kill the militant steel with the peripheral telegraphic skill. Build up force field. Mark 7. Fundamentalist, bring him my verbal gift. My style is packed quick like Coco and Swiss Miss. I kill. For the way my pen sticks to rhymes, cause I'm feeling party people, it's about that time. And together, we show you how to improvise, reminiscing of the Wild Style 75. Consistent brothers on the mic, occupying the drum. We're taking four MCs and make it sound like one. I'll be the spark from the cannon, blaze the outstanding tug of war with the poor, rich, and scandalous. Road running bandit, race against advancement, style wins, cause storms when I perform. I'm a proper giant robot.